北京外国语大学，北京外语音像出版社。
The Beijing Foreign Languages Audiovisual Publishing House, Beijing Foreign Studies University.
欣赏吸血鬼
Dracula Chapter 1Journey to Transylvania. In early 1897, the London lawyer Jonathan Harker traveled from London to Transylvania to meet a client named Count Dracula. Harker worked in real estate. The count wanted to buy some property in London. This is Harker's journal.3rd May. Count Dracula told me to stay at the Golden Crone Hotel in Bistritz. This is a scenic town in the shadow of the Carpathian Mountains. As soon as I arrived, the innkeeper's wife gave me a letter. It read, My friend, welcome to the Carpathians. Sleep well tonight. At 3 tomorrow afternoon, a coach will leave for the town of Bukovina. I have reserved a seat for you. When you get to Borgo Pass,You will meet my driver, who will bring you to me. Your friend, Dracula.
4th May.
When I asked the innkeeper about the count, he acted strangely. Before, he understood my basic German well. But when I asked about Dracula, he told me he didn't understand. He and his wife gave each other frightened looks.Finally, after I kept asking, they told me that they knew nothing. Then they made the sign of the cross. This was all very odd. Just as I had finished packing my suitcase for the trip, the old lady nervously came into my room. Young heir, do you really have to go? She asked. I replied I had to go as it was business. She asked me if I really knew where and what I was going to do. Finally,She got on her knees and begged me not to go. What silliness, I thought. I helped her stand up and told her firmly that it was my business to go, and nothing could interfere with that. She wiped tears from her eyes. Then she took off the crucifix that hung around her neck and put it around my neck. For your mother's sake, she said before leaving my room. I am writing this as I wait for the coach.There are many townspeople around the inn talking about me. I looked up in my dictionary the few words I could catch. If I am right, these words are Ordog, which means Satan, and Vrolok, which means something that is either wolf or vampire. These are quaint superstitions. Here comes the coach now. Better late than never. Fifth May. I am at Count Dracula's castle now. The journey took many hours, and it was a strange one. We soon left the inn behind and entered a wild and beautiful countryside. Before us lay a green sloping land full of forests and woods, with steep hills to the right and left. The afternoon sun brought out all the glorious colors of this beautiful range.Soon the sun sank low behind us. At dark, the passengers became excited, and it seemed they were urging the driver to go faster. He lashed the horses unmercifully with his long whip to pick up their speed. Then the mountains closed in on either side. We were entering the Borgo Pass. It was obvious that something very exciting was expected, but though I asked each passenger, no one would give me the slightest explanation. I was looking for a driver who would take me to the Count. I expected to see lamps through the blackness, but all was dark. I was thinking about what I was going to do when the driver, looking at his watch, said, "There is no coach waiting for you here. Perhaps the Count does not expect you after all. You should come on to Bukovina and return tomorrow or the next day, or even better, the day after that." But no sooner had he spoken these words than another coach came up from behind us. This caused our horses to become agitated, and my fellow passengers all shouted and made the sign of the cross. Four beautiful horses pulled the new coach alongside our own. The driver was a tall man with a long brown beard. A large black hat hid his face from view, but his eyes seemed to glow red in the light of our lamps. He said to the driver, "You are early tonight, my friend." The man stammered in reply, "The English air was in a hurry." To which the stranger replied, "That is why, I suppose, you wished him to go on to Bukovina. You cannot deceive me, my friend. I know too much, and my horses are swift." As he spoke, he smiled, and the lamplight revealed a hard mouth with very red lips and sharp-looking teeth as white as ivory. "Give me the air's luggage," he said, and my bags were quickly handed out and put in the other coach. As I changed coaches, my new driver leapt down and helped me in. He held my arm in a grip of steel. Then he leapt up to his seat, shook his reins, and we lurched forward, hurtling through the night. This is where my journey became even stranger. At first, I thought we were going around in a circle. I fixed my eyes on the top of a mountain where it met the sky and realized that we were indeed making a large circle around the pass. By this time, we were near the far side of the pass. I do not recall falling asleep, but I must have. It seemed like we traveled a long way before the coach suddenly stopped. I snapped to my senses and saw that we were in the courtyard of an ancient, crumbling castle and were before a huge wooden door. The driver was already on the ground with my luggage. He helped me out with the same iron grip as before. Then he jumped up without a word, shook the reins, turned the coach around, and disappeared. As I stood there alone, wondering what to do, many questions filled my head. What sort of place had I come to? What sort of grim adventure was I on? These questions were interrupted by the sound of the great door opening. There stood an old man, clean-shaven except for a long mustache, dressed all in black and holding a lamp. There was not a drop of color anywhere about him. He motioned to me very formally with his right hand. His English was excellent, but he spoke with a strange intonation.
"Welcome to my house. Enter freely and of your own free will."
The instant that I had stepped over the threshold, he grasped my hand with his, which felt more dead than alive. However, it possessed the same unnatural strength as that of the driver. I was so surprised that for a minute I thought that he was the driver. To make sure, I suddenly said, "Count Dracula?" He bowed formally as he replied,
"I am Dracula, and I bid you welcome, Mr. Harker, to my house. Come in. You must need to eat and rest."
He carried my bags along the passage, saying it was late, so no servants were available. We went up a great winding stair and along a great passage. At the end of this, he threw open a heavy door, and I rejoiced to see within a well-lit dining room. In the large fireplace, a bright hot fire flared. The Count opened another door, which led into a great bedroom warmed with another log fire. The Count left my luggage inside and said,
"When you are ready, you will find your supper prepared in the dining room."
All my doubts and fears vanished. I realized that I was starving. After washing up quickly, I went to eat. My host made a graceful wave to the table and said,
"Please enjoy your dinner. Excuse the fact that I have already eaten."
After dinner, we sat together by the fire. I studied him closely, for he had many strange features. His face was strong and long, and he had a high, thin nose. His forehead was high and domed, and his thick white hair was tightly pulled back. The Count's eyebrows were very thick and almost met in the middle. His mouth looked cruel, even when he smiled. I could see two of his white teeth, which protruded out over his surprisingly red lips. The teeth were strangely pointed. In contrast to his lips, the rest of his face was quite white. His fingers had long pointed fingernails. When he leaned close to me, I could smell a sort of decay on this breath. This nauseated me, and the Count drew back after seeing my reaction.
"You must be tired," he said. "Your bedroom is all ready, and tomorrow you may sleep as late as you want. I have to be away till the afternoon, so sleep well and dream well."
7th May. After my late breakfast the next day, I met the Count in the library. There were many English books there. I asked if I could visit the library whenever I wanted. He answered,
"Certainly."
And he added, "You may go anywhere in the castle, except where the doors are locked. We are in Transylvania, and Transylvania is not England. Our ways are not your ways, and you may find many things strange here."
This led to much conversation. Finally, our conversation turned to our business.
"Come," he said, "tell me of London and the house you have prepared for me."
I produced the real estate papers for a large estate named Carfax. The Count had sent a description of what he desired, and Carfax was a good match. It was an old house that had been built in the Middle Ages and had been added to since. One part of it looked like a small castle with thick walls and heavy doors. I had him sign the necessary papers and then put them in an envelope with a letter I wrote to my boss. When I had finished, he said,
"I am glad that it is old and big. My family is old, and to live in a new house would kill me. An old house has many dark, hidden places, and I love the shadows."
We talked some more, mostly about England. Suddenly, the Count jumped to his feet and said,
"Why, it is morning already. It's terrible of me to make you stay up so long. You must make your conversation less interesting so that I may not forget how time flies."
With a courtly bow, he quickly left me.